You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Zero point zero.
Oh, look at that. Dean Wormer joining us. Amazing. It's our good friend, Dr. Joanne DeFilippo.
Yes, and I want to say this is actually a show I'm going to dedicate to my secret listeners.
Wow.
Yeah, got a new group.
Wow.
And they said to me, can you record it? I said, it'll be on a podcast. Okay.
I'm telling you, the amount of Pima County employees and various people that listen to this show.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, I can tell just by the emails, the texts, the roundabouts that I get.
My favorite one ever, we had a happy hour where these two ladies came up to me and said they work for Pima County. I can't say what department they work in. And their whole little office, there's like 8 or 10 of them, listen to Wake Up in the Morning. Yes. In Pima County.
Yes.
And one of them literally is the one at the front, so you can see who's coming down the hallway. And it's like in the Great Escape when the guards are coming, right? Like she takes her
they
thing.
They give the warning.
Right, and she like, all right, here comes the engineer. She goes like, and she clicks her coffee cup or something, and yeah. That means someone's coming. So the person
signal.
In the back shuts off Wake Up Tucson.
Unbelievable. We got a lot to cover today.
What you got for me?
Okay. Actually, our theme today is basically, it's grounded in hypocrisy. And what it really is saying is, and this is, I'm directing this to the Board of Supervisors because you're not going to believe some of the stuff that happened. And it says,
I watched like none of it.
It applies to you, but it does not apply to us.
Of course.
That's the theme for today. But that's,
it's almost like me talking about Raheena Romero and the sales tax.
I heard that. You know, and let me tell you something. Everybody who is listening to you talk right now, I want you to think about what Chris just said this past hour in relation to what we're going to be talking about. It is absolutely despicable.
Yep.
What we are going to talk about today, and in the context of these salaries, you know, when you said that they gave themselves actually a 30% increase,
they quadrupled.
Yeah. You are absolute. Well, I mean,
that's
it is
a 400%
increase.
All
right. However, okay, this is what I want to start out with today.
Yep.
You know, I always go back and watch the Board of Supervisors meetings on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, because I can, actually, when I get sick, I can, instead of regurgitating, I just put pause.
Okay. Remember the old days when Huckleberry had the really bad cameras and mic?
You know what? I miss that guy. He was so good to get under his skin. I miss him.
I just remember the best thing they ever did was better cameras, mics, and then put it on YouTube. Because before, it was always like, well, yeah, we'll load it up one day. And it was like the Zapruder film in the quality of it. So,
well,
a little better.
You know, if you wanted, I don't know how it is now, but if you wanted a CD of the Board of Supervisors meeting, it cost $5. Okay, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
And I remember in Allie's office, we used to get a copy of the CD. Okay, or we would have to. Why do you think Allie had those videotape downstairs of the live meeting, which, you know, Jan and Chuck gave Jan, I'm sorry, but I'm going to let this out today. Chuck gave Jan orders to try and stop that. So they try and get people to go in front of the cameras to stop video.
So what happened is Allie, including our beloved Max, used to be the camera guy on that.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, that's right.
Allie would set up her own camera and so you could watch the video, her unedited version of what happened.
Yes.
And then also look at the reaction of the supervisors as all this was going on. And Huckleberry hated that.
Oh, and nothing could do. It was, you know, it's not a violation. It's states and Arizona open meeting law. Anybody can record, tape, whatever, as long as you don't interfere with the meeting.
I could see that Chuck memo. Now, if any employees are very tall or have large craniums, I wish you would sit in front of Allie Miller's camera.
Yeah, they tried doing that. Tried blocking it. It was hilarious. Okay, but anyways, you know, because this is now, what, I don't know, 7 years ago, something like that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So Allie would have to literally, you'd have to wait for the CD to come out if you didn't have it taped. That's why she would tape it. But, you know, we after the meeting, we'd just go upstairs and do those snippets on the video.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Because the part was he would drag his feet in getting you the CD.
Yes, absolutely. So that, because remember, if you know, that sensationalism of the news, okay, yep, is that, he could prevent news from coming out, or it would lose its momentum.
Of course.
It's sensationalism factor. All right, so given all that, I got to tell you. So I'm watching the video of the YouTube meeting of the August 19th meeting.
Yes.
And you know how we're hearing Adelita talk about, oh, this meeting is taking so long and it's called to the public and, okay.
She hates people talking.
Guess how long it took before the meeting could start because of all the...
I'm going to take a guess.
Yeah.
42 minutes.
Well, in this case, it was 28 minutes and 34 seconds. Okay, before the meeting could start with the call to the public. No, it wasn't the call to the public. It was just all the precursor to the call to the public.
Well, you
got to
have all your proclamations.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And you got to get
I don't begrudge pause for pause. I don't begrudge that.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's better than listening to Rex Scott. I'd rather have a dog as my supervisor than Rex Scott anyway. But it's all about the photo op for them.
Do not denigrate dogs, okay?
I wasn't.
The four-legged ones.
It's National Dog Day today.
Is it really?
It is.
Oh, my little baby puppies. Okay.
Look at her.
My little baby puppies.
Give me a quick rundown of what we're going to do, and then we're going to go to break.
Okay, we're going to, John Backer actually opened up. It was so funny. If you go back and listen to this, I thought he was talking about hate ordinance, but it was really heat ordinance.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that, but then what we're going to do is connected into, they've got the heat ordinance as a code text amendment on item number 34. This was fantastic. Okay. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. I want to say thank you, John Backer, because he did a good job in leading into the code text amendment and the absolute hypocrisy and lunacy, absolute lunacy, which is then going to take me to the parks.
Interesting.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you about my investigation that I did, firsthand, primary evidence. I visited some parks. I'm going to tell you what I found. I actually interviewed some homeless. I'm going to tell you what they said to me.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Wowie, wow, wow.
And then we're going to go into the levy. I love it. The tax levy. We're going to go into a rezoning, which is really interesting. How in the heck? I stopped myself, Matt, okay?
He appreciates that.
Yeah. How in the heck do you get District 5 boundary covering the Pascua-Yaqui tribe on Valencia Road? District 5's boundary, do you know, goes all the way out there? That's because Grijalva lives out there. That's because they had to try and Schweckle. You know a Schweckle?
Yeah.
Okay. They had to Schweckle the boundaries in order to try and get more Dems for District 5 so they could guarantee that District 5 would be a Dem-appointed.
So they there's a little thing that shoots out to, I think she's like in that Star Valley area.
It's a panhandle.
There.
Yeah. It's
look
like a
that.
Panhandle. Yeah. How do you, you're talking about.
Is a Schweckle like a gerrymander?
Well,
yes.
It could be. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Don't say Schmeckle.
No, Schweckle. Es puro Schweckle. Eh? I'm going to start saying some of this in Spanish. I'd like to know, do we have any Spanish-speaking listeners?
Of course.
We do? Órale, vamos a hablar de todo esto en español y voy a decir todo lo que está pasando.
Okay, look at you. I love it. Beautiful.
All right. Okay, so we've got some absolutely precious material today.
All right, let's go to break. And we're going to, it's National Dog Day, so we're playing dog songs today, of course.
Oh, I love it.
This is Jethro Tull. It's called Rover. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
How
local
sweet.
News and talk. Matt's waiting for the flute solo to come up. Wake up.
The birds singing about dogs.
National Dog Day, celebrating those wonderful canines out there. Hanging out with our good friend, Dr. Joanne D. Filippo. All right, let's get the John Backer and heat ordinances.
Okay, now, so this was that call to the public. And actually, John Backer was talking about the fact that he did some investigative work, and he found that in 2023, there were 176 heat-related incidents. Doesn't say what type, Okay, but just the fact that there were incidents. And then he talks about past years reported. Then he went in to talk about the impact of the ordinance. Okay, were these incidents related to 176 workers, 176 homeless? What is the impact on business? And then he basically ended it and he said, therefore, what he was trying to make the point is, look, use common sense. You don't need some type of an ordinance or whatever. If there's extreme heat, get out of the extreme heat. We live in a desert, okay? So we're listening to that. And then what happened was, all of a sudden, it segued. And it started going to item number 34, which was the hearing on the code text amendment. And what that was it's relating to workplace heat safety and amend the Pima County Code by adding a new chapter. So I'm listening to that, and what it was, Jan said, well, we're really going after policy revisions. And she said, right now, it's for outdoor work sites, and we want to amend and define it. We want to amend the language. Watch this. You know this county doesn't do anything unless it's got a hidden meaning to it, okay? We want to amend the language to just the word work sites and eliminate outdoor. Okay. And so Christy kept saying, wait a minute, I want to make sure. This applies only to county workers? Yes? She said yes. She said, but it also applies to any contractor who chooses to do business in Pima County in the future. So it's got two target populations, right? Okay. Now, that was kind of like call to the public, but we're going to segue now over to the discussion that occurred with agenda item 34, which is this code text amendment. And what ended up happening, Christy said, I love this. He said, what prompted this whole thing about, you know, work sites, heat ordinance, the whole bit? And he said, obviously there was a letter that was sent to the board by Chris Mays, the Arizona Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy said, what prompted Chris Mays to write this letter? Grijalva said, oh, well, I ran into her at such and such, you know, and Pima County is a leader, and I'm so proud to say that we are the first community to do this, okay? And Christy goes, wait a minute. There's a danger with the state AG who saying that, oh, yes, this is fantastic, because that state AG at a later date could turn around and apply this to all counties, not just Pima County. She could probably go forward and say, okay, this is what we're going to be doing for heat ordinance throughout the state, number one. Heat ordinance for all work sites, number two. Heat ordinance, period. It wouldn't apply just to county employees, okay? So you see the gist of what Christy was trying to say is that this simple little idea that you think you have could really extend and have a devastating impact across all.
I got a quick question.
Yes.
Here. So when they got rid of the word outdoor and we just said work sites, mm-hmm. and now it applies to the county workers but also now contractors.
Yes.
Does this mean that the county says it has some sort of jurisdiction over a subcontracted company?
Yes.
About any of their work sites, not just outdoor, because we got rid of the word outdoor.
Well, yes, exactly.
I mean, is Adelita and Rex going to be checking your thermostat on your air conditioner?
Well, you remember this. Okay. So it's now changed that it's no longer an outdoor work site. It's just work sites, period. Okay.
You want a slippery slope?
Oh, you want to talk about a massive, this is COVID. This is COVID all over. Okay. And actually Christy said, this is just like COVID. What starts out as this simple little edict you're trying to do goes beyond. And then Scott said, well, if OSHA goes into effect, then it'll impact everyone then. And this is exactly why, and I'm going to show you how this all leads one into the other. Scott is right. If OSHA decides to try and, you know, institute what they want to do, it will be across the nation. But that's exactly why the Chevron doctrine came out and the Supreme Court voted on it and said, no, federal agencies do not run the people. They do not run the United States.
Right,
it's
correct.
The will of the people.
No, that's a good point.
Okay,
that's a great point.
Yes. Oh, the other thing I want to point out too, and this was brought to my attention. You're going to love this.
Yeah.
Extreme is defined as 90 plus degrees. So, I'd like to know. Somebody tell me how many days out of the year do we have 90 plus degree weather?
Half the year. That's my guess.
Okay. So what do you think that's doing? Can you imagine what's going on here? Now, the thing that I find really interesting, and I've brought this up before, what we're going to do is we're going to figure out, first of all, who's going to be determining this? Okay. Who? Because that's exactly what happened with the Chevron doctrine. Okay. Who is the enforcing party of this? What? The Pima County Health Department? Because that's apply the Chevron doctrine.
I think Dr. Garcia and Teresa Cullen would love to crush businesses under their heels. They've shown it before. I'm sure there'll be a heat hall of shame, too, that they can go to.
Oh, absolutely.
So, also part of the gaslighting of this, and Becker had it. How many of that 163, I think?
176.
176. I'll get it one day. Was actual homeless people freaked out on fentanyl who didn't know it was 100 degrees out.
Yes.
Right?
Now,
that's part of the gaslighting,
now,
right? They won't even give you the specifics of that because if they do, their whole argument crumbles.
Now, do we have to go to a break because I want to go into...
We got about 30 seconds till break.
Okay, what I'm going to do then is segue. Okay, get
I like
this
that.
Set up.
Look at you.
Okay.
This segue
is my little segue. Okay. What we're going to do then is take a look at this code text amendment, this entire heat policy discussion, and translate it to Pima County itself and what it does to its workers. Remember, the theme today is hypocrisy. Okay? And I am going to demonstrate to you the absolute ultimate hypocrisy that we have done to our Pima County workers.
All right. We're celebrating National Dog Day. Don't listen to this one to the end because you'll start crying. Johnny Cash, it's called Old Shep. Wake up.
I remember this song.
7:34 in the morning, a little Old Red by...
Blake.
Blake Shelton. Very good. We did three in a row. We did Old Blue, Old Shep, and Old Red. So we're doing National Dog Day today with Dr. DeFilippo. And NU 790-2040, wakeuptucson@gmail.com if you wish to opine and interact with the show. All right, Dr. D, where are we going next?
So now we are going to go to a corollary story that fits in with this, okay? Remember, we're talking about this heat ordinance, and we're talking about protecting county employees,
yep.
And we're talking about making sure that contractors who are awarded contracts from county funds, take care of their employees in the context of the heat ordinance.
Were there any business group people there who talked about?
I didn't. There weren't any that I saw.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not saying there weren't any. I just didn't see any on the tape.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, and remember, Christy brought this up, I believe, back in June. On this whole issue of the Supreme Court and the Chevron doctrine. And remember, Sam Brown was like, da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? Okay. I don't know if he was doing that because he didn't understand what the Chevron doctrine was, or he knew the extent of the Supreme Court decision. And I like Sam. Don't get me wrong, okay? I like Sam. I just don't know which way his brain was thinking when he was maybe trying to respond to Steve Christie.
Well, he to me, a guy who's followed Adelita Grijalva from TUSD to Pima County, I have.
Oh, that's right.
He's got
that's
challenges.
Right. That's right.
Sorry.
Well, let's say that there. Let's put it this way: there are probably multiple challenges sitting up on that dais. Okay.
That's
so
true.
Now, what we're going to speaking of a challenge. Okay, let's challenge the Board of Supervisors. We've got on the one hand, we've got this heat ordinance, and they're all proud and everything. And I hope to God Chris Mays is listening to this, because I'm going to challenge Chris Mays. I'm going to challenge Adelita Grijalva. I'm going to challenge Rex Scott. I'm going to challenge Matt Hines. I'm going to challenge Sylvia Lee, and I'm going to challenge Jan Lesher. If you are so concerned about county workers in a heat ordinance, let me tell you about the little investigation I did.
Okay.
I had received word that our county parks, and I could see it because of Rito, okay, that our county parks were becoming cesspools in the sense of the public bathrooms and the homeless using them. And, you know, remember, I started taking pictures myself of the little tinfoil wrappers like you cannot imagine. On the bathroom floors, you can see the feces on the floor. You can see the blood on the floor.
Oh, okay. It's got it all.
Yes. Now, and so I'm like going, wait a minute. We're trying to say that we're protecting county employees from heat ordinance. That's okay. We want to protect them so they don't have to become, you know, heat traumatized. What the heck do you think you're doing to these county employees who have to go in daily and clean those bathrooms? And I said to the, I said.
In hazmat suits, basically.
Not hazmat suits. This is what they do. I actually watched them. They dress up. They put on full face stuff. They got double gloves on. They've got spray bottles in each hand. And it's like they close their eyes and walk in the bathroom and start spraying. Why? Because the fecal matter is so bad. The drug wrappers are so bad. And I'm like looking at this, and I saw a couple in the bathroom doing drugs who left their little girl outside the bathroom. Okay? They didn't have a care about her at all. And I believe a Pima County worker had said, hey, your daughter's out there. You need to take care of her. Stop doing drugs in the bathroom, right? You know, I saw afterwards, I actually heard the homeless people say, we're going to call the county, because if we call the county, they'll reprimand that employee for harassing us. Are you kidding me? Now, I don't know if they did, but I hear that homeless are calling the county and reporting county employees who are telling them to get out of the bathroom and stop doing drugs. This, number one, this is what I want to say to parents, especially up in District 1, people are using, let's say, Rito, but I know it pertains to all the parks, okay? If you care so much about your child, are you going to let them go? Do you tell your child, don't use the bathroom? Do not use the bathroom. And I don't, you know, I point out to children, but it could be the same thing to anyone. You know, when you walk into a bathroom and you see a piece of aluminum foil on the bathroom floor, maybe, you know, if you're savvy to it, you might kick it out of the way or whatever, but you have no idea what's in that aluminum foil. Kids are inquisitive by nature.
Of course.
Okay? They pick up that. Do you think we need to? We pay taxes.
Well, they say that one fentanyl pill can kill you. Touching a fentanyl pill can hurt you a lot, or
breathing.
Right.
Okay. Now, wait, you're going to love this.
Yes.
So I go back on my second visit, and one of the young girls there who obviously, I think she was at one time a productive member of society, got into drugs, can't get off of them, doesn't want to get off of them because you can't get off of them. You know what I mean? It's that vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, I have studies. I did master's in substance abuse and addiction counseling. So it's not that I'm not talking from a knowledgeable standpoint. Okay. And I said to her, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Why? And she said, oh, well, we're going to be leaving Rito in a little bit. She said, because the fentanyl that's coming in here is bad. She said, but she said, don't worry, there'll be another group coming in here because they don't know that the fentanyl is bad. We're moving on to another park. This is me. I'm just a nobody going there talking to these homeless people. I can't even believe this is going on with a $1.7 billion budget, and we cannot protect our employees. We cannot protect our communities. We cannot protect our parks. We cannot protect what our taxes are doing. And you're going to tell me that it's the same thing in the sense of we're spending all this money on undocumented, illegal, et cetera. What are you doing for the taxpayers? What are you giving them? What are you doing for our Pima County employees? What are you doing for Pima County taxpayers that want to use the parks, that want to send their kids there? If I had a child, I'm sorry, I would never send them to a county park.
You know, when you look at the winners and losers of the Pima County $1.7 billion, right? Those athletes, those kids, the family, those are the people who are losers in the budget all the time.
So what I want to say to Grijalva, Adelita Grijalva, is if you're so damn... can I say that?
Yes. Yeah?
Okay. If you're so damn concerned about what's going on with heat ordinance, by God, get on that phone and call Chris Mays and get something done about the homeless, the drug use,
not
the fecal, the urine.
Not only is she she's patting herself on the back.
Yes.
She broke her arm, patting herself on the back, that they're the first community to do this.
Yes. Well, so, you know what? Then take care of your community. Take care of your parks. Take care of what's going on. And do not give me lip service. And I'm going to say this from the sense of critical race theory. There's a legal theorist by the name of Andrea Dworkin. And I'm saying this specifically to Grijalva, to Scott, to Lee, and Hines. In the words of Andrea Dworkin, she said, if you take your foot off my throat, maybe I can speak.
Wow. So let me, one more, we're going to do Bud Foster story to believe not, to support you here a little bit.
Now, and I'm going to tell you, listeners, am I hot under the collar about this? You bet I am, because you know what? Our Pima County workers, they work really hard in doing their job.
Amen.
They're some of the lowest paid. They did not get the compensation that those others, that the 100,000 above in their compensation study.
That's another loser in the Pima County budget, where blue collar workers.
Yes. Not only do they get dumped on with the lack of pay while those 100,000 and above reap massive benefits off of it, but these people literally have to go in and clean up.
And they got screwed on their COVID bonuses because they were supposedly not...
Because they were not first, they were not regarded as first responders. Remember, these are people...
But people in offices got...
These are people who did not get $5,000 COVID incentive bonuses. They didn't get $2,500 COVID bonuses. No, they're out there cleaning up the crap that we enjoy when we walk into those bathrooms and they're clean. Can you imagine going to work every single day and having to face this? That board of supervisors, minus Steve Christie, ought to be absolutely ashamed. And not only that, I'm sorry, but they should all four be recalled or voted out of office come November.
So this is...
I'm taking a very firm stance on that. When I saw this firsthand, I was absolutely sickened to think that that's where my tax dollars go.
So remember... If you do heat ordinances, right, it fulfills your mandate of you're now part of really the new Green Deal of America on the national. That's what that gets them a little pat on their head, right? If you talk about the drug problem, right, it points the fact that your party advocates for open borders, right, and you failed utterly as a law enforcement, both nationally and the county-wise and the city-wise, on what's going on drug-wise. Oh, and the county attorney is a whole other story. So now, according to the Budster, they're going to add two security guards on the loop to patrol at night.
And I have a feeling that's because I started bringing this to light, okay?
The goal is to, and this is Callie Norton, the community engagement coordinator.
Wait a minute. I hear this person is about 80 years old, okay, who they've hired to do, you know, this nighttime security. I don't know.
Is that some insomniac or what?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Okay?
The goal is to ensure that the parks and facilities on the loop are the safest they can be. This is from the county. There have been complaints. This is the Budster now. There have been complaints from general public. A woman was seriously injured in an attack on the loop. Vandalism and drug use are a concern in the parks, ramadas, and restrooms.
Oh, hello. Is that Bud?
The Budster.
Budster. Okay.
Okay, Bud Foster.
That means he's trying to do damage control. You see, they sent him a notice saying, Bud, you got to counteract this story. Okay, yeah.
So we want to know where these, this is the talking head for parks, Callie Norton, okay? We want to know where these kinds of things
are
happening.
Who is Callie Norton?
She is the community engagement coordinator at Parks and Rec.
Okay. That means she's an underling. Okay.
Yes. But so here's the thing. We want to know where these kind of things are happening.
Really? Well, go interview
you know
your employees. Go interview
you know,
your employees. You don't have to. I'm telling you, go to the bathrooms first thing in the morning when those parks open up. Callie, go do your job. That's where you find out where it is. Go talk to your county employees.
This reminds me of when they built the wildlife overpass over Oracle Road. And as part of blowing all that money, they paid some out-of-town company lots of money to find out where the animals were crossing.
And up on the north side,
on Oracle Road, right? They paid some god-awful amount of jack, right?
I remember that.
And somehow
that.
They interviewed the guy who's like, he's in charge of maintaining the highway for the state
on
that stretch.
This.
And they asked him about this whole thing. He says, I don't know why you have to. I pick up roadkill every day.
Yeah.
I'll tell you exactly where the animals are crossing.
Yes, exactly.
That's what this feels like. We know exactly where it's been going on for years. That new.
Yes.
Right? So the security guards will not be armed, but they will have Narcan. So you're going to send the 80-year-old guy with his can of Narcan in the middle of the dark on the loop.
Also,
yes,
it's a 137-mile loop. They're going to have two people working it, quote, as a pair, which is a good idea, given what goes on there. 137 miles, okay?
Hold on.
For 3 months.
Chris will tell you exactly where they're going to be. Right? It'll be the part of the loop that goes through Pliskin Acres. That's the problem.
Is that District 1?
That's District 3, 1-ish, where they kind of they come together. Let's get Al on real quick, and then we got to go to break. Al, you're on with me and Dr. D. What's up?
Dr. D, you make my Monday morning every way, every time. But what I want to say is every morning when I go to work, I cross First Avenue there at the bridge, and I see him on one side taking a bath and cleaning up, and on the other side selling and doing drugs every morning. All they need to do is stay there, the cops do, and they could just arrest them like that.
Yes, and they're not allowed to.
Well, if they, remember,
that's the message
remember,
that
you
is
only,
prevailing
you only
out
keep,
there.
You only keep 10 or less pills on you because they know Conover won't prosecute on 10 or less.
Al, thank you for calling in. I mean, it's absolutely atrocious.
Al's right. It should be like shooting fish in a barrel, right?
Yeah.
Arresting these guys. But there's no help.
The thing that I find most despicable about all of this is how we jeopardize, you know, how dare you, how hypocritical is it of you supervisors and Jan Lesher, okay, to go and put forward this heat ordinance saying we're going to protect our county employees. You don't care about your county employees that are working in the parks. You force them to go in there and clean up the dregs of the drugs, the blood, the urine, and do you see anybody from county administration going in there to clean up bathrooms? No. Do you see any kind of hazardous pay going to these individuals? Now, here's my next question. If we have a heat ordinance, does that mean we're going to have a cold ordinance?
Of course. Hold that thought. Al, I got to go to break. Thanks for the good call. Dr. D and I will be back. We might go over the 8 o'clock hour with Dr. D if she's got some time, because I know she's got more stuff to do. But you know what it is? We always talk about how the county in economic development loves to pick winners and losers. But in the end, they're picking winners and losers in public safety.
Yes.
How's that for scary?
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, those at the bottom of the poll happen to be our county workers who are getting the shaft.
All right, little Patty Page. How much is that doggy in the window?
I remember I had this on vinyl. It was RCA Victor with the black label with the Meg. Oh, my God, I remember this.
She used to sing this at the Holiday Inn in Ventura Beach.
You're in Studio City at DuPar's Pancakes.
I know it's not about a dog, but it's a good song. Black Dog by Led Zeppelin.
It's all right.
You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Welcome to Pima County, where we pick winners and losers when it comes to public safety, believe it or not. So one of the listeners, Bill, had a good question. Does that mean Rex and Adelita will be checking out the temperature of the workers at Catholic Community Services and Casa Salitas for their heat? Is Rex going to be walking around with his thermometer?
Well, you know what? Considering we taxpayers pay the bill, okay? We pay the utility bill, okay? Remember, they don't pay utilities. They don't pay rent. Okay? We have that onus.
So think about it. We know how good the county works on picking winners and losers with economic development. That's why there is none. All right? So now we're at who's the winners in public safety? And it's amazing between Conover and the Board of Supes, right? The winners of the drug users are a winner compared to the soccer players or
Absolutely.
Families that want to use a
who
park.
Are paying the bill.
Right.
Who are paying the bill. And, you know, I got to tell you, okay, I do not have children. All right. However, and sometimes, being a non-parent.
Right.
I may not see things exactly like a parent would because I don't have that vested interest in a child per se. But I will tell you, when I did my own investigation, because I'd heard about this. Remember, I don't like to talk about something unless I actually have the facts, it's verified, etc. So I went and did my own investigation on this, and I visited three parks. That's how I know what I'm talking about. And I interviewed individuals at those parks. That's how I know what I'm talking about. What I found is, you know, what an organized society these homeless groups have.
Oh, yeah.
When that woman said to me, oh, the reason why there you got less homeless right now in the last 2 weeks at Rayito is because we've moved on to another area because the fentanyl that's coming into the park here isn't that good. but don't worry, you're going to get another group coming in because they don't know how bad the fentanyl is. And I'm thinking to myself, if this woman is saying this to me, imagine the society that they have where it moves. And you can see it. I know Allie Miller was battling with this. Remember the washes, the various cross.
Yeah, by Orange Grove and Fort Lowell there. Orange Grove and La Jolla. I will tell you that we learned this through the retail theft discussion with police officers in the city of Tucson, right? So it's like they have the place where they go get their drugs. There's their drug dealers. So they have a sense of Fenty community in a way, right? And they have to, where their dealers are. And to stay part of the community, you have to, they give you your list. You show up at the Target on Oracle Road and you have to get these 10 things.
Oh, you have
it's
to.
It's right out of Oliver, man.
It is out of Oliver, right? And then you have to, the 10 of you have to run out with your carts at the same time because they can't stop
all
10 of
you.
So
you create chaos.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, this is a thing.
It's organized.
This is a thing, right?
Yes. And so what I'd like to do right now is I want to do an open challenge to Supervisor Grijalva, Scott, Lee, and Hines. I don't need to invite Chrissy. You can come along if you want, but I don't need to because you already recognize Steve has the common sense and the knowledge to know what needs to be done, and he votes appropriately on
it. He's also not blinded by his party's ideology and national game plan.
I would like to invite them. I will drive. I will pick you up wherever you are. I would like to take you on a tour, early morning tour. We got to get there first when they open the parks, okay? And I want you to come in. I want you to bring your rubber gloves, your two bottles of plastic spray. I want you, I don't care, bring a raincoat, whatever it is. Bring some kind of hat, protect yourself. And we're going to go in and we're going to take a look at the bathrooms. And bring a camera, because we're going to take pictures also. I want you to see what county workers have to face every single day in order to try and clean up the parks that we taxpayers paid for so that your kids, who are innocent little victims, can use those parks, and when they have to have a bathroom break, can be able to go in and use a clean, disinfected bathroom, etc.
So you and I were talking about this off air.
Let's do a field trip.
It's like a police ride-along.
Yeah.
But you're doing a ride-along with the men and women who are on the front lines of the druggies as they try to maintain the parks.
We're going to call it our sheet-along. Okay? And it's our field trip. Actually, you know what? I think we should start announcing a program where we invite the supervisors to come on various field trips. And maybe they need to get a permission slip from Jan.
So,
just like we do with our children and parents.
So there's that organization, Watch Your Time, at MPA, Metropolitan Pima Alliance. They do this thing called the Wild Ride where they say, oh, we're going to go see all the cool things in Marana or whatever. We could do a wild ride with Wakeys, or we just take them to all the worst drug dens.
Oh, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do early morning ride-alongs and check out the bathrooms in the Pima County parks.
Joanne will make cannoli, I promise.
I'm not serving them in the bathroom.
Bonus tracks with Dr. DeFilippo coming up.